This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department, whether it's inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The outstanding, and we go back a long way, West Durham ACC Network. We will get to the truly important question, then we'll get to the football stuff in a moment. Have you, since our last meeting a little bit more than 3 months ago, acquired new technology?
Yes.
And how did it work?
Once I kind of got it cranked up, it worked out pretty good. I ended up hitting about, I don't know, I averaged about 11 or 12 fairways around. About 11.
Yeah.
I didn't hit it as far as I should or as I could. But that might have to do with the operator more than the equipment. How's that?
Doggone Nicholas thing about 14 clubs in the bag in one swing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that everybody's aware of our golf games, how are we doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Because I am going to be in the process of also acquiring new technology the old drivers beat up, but yep, actually worked pretty well. I mean, but acquiring new. I mean, did you get to a five? That was the goal.
No, I never got there. I finished at a nine. I went through a pretty bad sequence in June where I was a lost child of the corn in my golf game. And actually, you'll like, and this story is just completely, I'm sure people are like, really? I thought they were going to talk football, and they're talking about their own golf game. So I will share a wild story with you that I ended up not only with a new driver, I ended up with a new putter. And the putter and the driver by the end of the summer, and this is exactly the way, Steve, this whole thing has been written for me for years, is with 2 weeks to go, like before I have to literally stop playing, right, because of our jobs.
Right.
I broke 80 like three times in the last four rounds, in part because of the driver and the putter. And I had a friend of mine go, well, it's a damn shame you got to work for a living. I said, yeah, it is. Thanks. Appreciate you. And, you know, we'll see you next spring. So, but the putter and the driver, the rest of the clubs are all good, but the putter and the driver were particularly good this year.
And the only reason I bring it up is, I guess it was when we were driving to the airport. He looks at me and says, Jonesy, I got to get new technology.
Yeah. Oh, I got new technology. It didn't take long. And the guy who fitted me said, well, no wonder you can't hit it. You're too old to be hitting this club. And that's exactly what I wanted to hear, too. I mean, talk about scared straight. That's
absolutely
perfect.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask you just about your new team, because Tom Luginbill, who had done a lot of analysis from the sideline, is now up in the booth, and Dana Boyle's down on the sideline. How excited are you to be with that kind of team, and the fact that Luginbill now gets more of a chance to analyze on a play-in and play-out basis?
Well, I think there's a lot of things in our business where you pull for people, right? And Tom is somebody who I thought for the last 6 to 8 years is probably deserving of a full-time in-booth role as an analyst. I think his acumen, not just, and people know he's the national recruiting director for ESPN, and he and Craig Harvard do all of that, which, you know, if you're going to take that on, Godspeed. And then he knows the game, and because he's coached the game at the professional level, briefly at the collegiate level, and obviously played it. So when they called me in May and said, hey, this is what we're thinking, I said, that'd be great. I love working with Tim Hasselbeck. Tim Hasselbeck was the best drawer of the game. I think he's the best drawer of football, period, I've ever worked with. I relate his knowledge of the game and his ability to communicate it to what I have on Sundays with Dave Archer and our 21-year partnership on Falcons. But Lugs is great. And Dana Boyle is somebody who, Steve, this is why we're in this industry. And you know this from the role where we're kind of mentors to people. Dana told me 2 years ago she wanted to commit full-time to doing this, and she really wanted to try and get a football package. She had played collegiate lacrosse at Virginia. She's from New Hampshire. She had a great work ethic. She's serious about it. She's not in it for the social media. She's in it to learn the game and communicate the game and tell stories. And so we're very fortunate. We're working with really good people on the production side. Ben Ward and Bob Frateroli are our producer-director. And we're excited about the games we're getting. We had two last week, and we're at Clemson Saturday night for, you know, here's Clemson off the Georgia loss against Appalachian, who's on that short list of teams that could potentially be the G5 team at the end of the year going to the playoffs. So, you know, if we can live up to the billing of the game and handle it from a production standpoint, broadcast standpoint, I think we're going to have a really good year.
Yeah, which you will. I mean, I'm completely confident of that. The ACC's off to an interesting start. Georgia Tech's off to a terrific start.
Yep.
Miami was phenomenal in what they did to Florida.
Yeah.
And of course, but the headlines are Clemson lost 30-3 to whatever it was to Georgia, even though it was 6-0 at halftime, and Florida State's 0-2. So how do you then encapsulate 2 weeks of ACC football?
Well, I said in July, and a lot of people thought I was the company man for doing it, I thought this had a chance to be the deepest the ACC has ever been. And somebody looked at me and goes, well, there's 17 damn schools, so they ought to be deep. And I don't disagree with that. But I thought there was a path for 5 or 6 teams to get to the ACC championship game. And maybe of those 5 or 6, 4 who had legitimate paths to get to the CFP. Well, it just so happens that 2 of those teams haven't won a game yet. The other 3 have gotten to 1-0 and look pretty good. That's Miami, that's Louisville, and that's NC State.
Right.
NC State had a little bit of a sleepwalk, but their exam is Saturday in Charlotte against Tennessee, okay? You know, the 3 teams that probably have been head-scratchers are Virginia Tech, whose fan base and a lot of people thought, told everybody in the offseason they had found it and they were going to be good, and lost to Vanderbilt in a game they trailed 17-0.
Right.
And then you mentioned the scenario with Clemson and Florida State. I'm not as concerned about Clemson, Steve, as I am about Florida State.
I agree.
And here's why. I was told how great they were going to be on the defensive front from, like, February on. And in their first 2 weeks, Georgia Tech and Boston College have lined up and been the tougher football team running the ball on them. And it's probably a good time for Mike Norvell to have a bye week, because a week from Saturday, Memphis comes to Tallahassee. And by the way, that's a game that had to be scheduled because Norvell took the job. Remember that?
Yep.
And now here comes Seth Hennigan and the people at Memphis. And you know Memphis is on the short list of G5s, too, out of the American. So,
that's right.
You know, Florida State better find it between now and next Saturday, or else 0-3, and it'll be a lonely, lonely walk back to the field house on that deal if that happens.
No doubt, because Norvell took the job at Florida State and left Memphis when they played Penn State in the Cotton Bowl. So I remember specifically how that played out.
Yep.
What I found interesting is that Jared Verse, Bloomsburg, so a local kid, ends up being a phenomenal player. And then there's the quarterback.
Yeah,
who they wanted to run out of town for 2 years, Jordan Travis. They wanted to run him out of town. The second he got hurt, that's when you saw the dip in Florida State, especially on offense. And they haven't been the same since he got hurt up to now. That's my opinion. You tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I think there's some truth to that. I think the kid, first of all, I had his first snap as a college player at Florida State when he came on in relief at Boston College. When Mike Norvell hadn't even had the job yet. This is when Odell Hagans was the interim coach after they let go of Willie Taggart, right?
Right.
And, I mean, and it was unbelievable to watch Jordan Travis. And then remember they went out and got Mackenzie Milton. Remember that in the transfer portal the first year?
Yep.
And Mackenzie Milton wasn't very good at Florida State, and ultimately Jordan Travis won the job, right, in 20. Right. Or I should say 21. And so when you look at the way that kind of unfolded, Travis became the heartbeat of that football program. Verse was a different kind of leader because Verse had been at Albany. Braden Fisk had been at, like, Western Michigan or whatever, right?
Yep.
Now, all of a sudden, they've gone out and poured a lot of portal money and NIL money into kids who've come from other schools because the fit wasn't right. There were other P5 schools. And maybe it's a different kind of edge that the players bring to the table. But defensively, you know, they're portal guys. Marvin Jones Jr., Daryl Jackson, those guys like that. And as I was told this summer by a football guy, the minute we put money in the equation with these guys, we can now talk about the money.
Right.
Because everybody knows they're getting paid. And so the idea that they're not performing to the standard of the financial investment, well, welcome to kind of what we talk about on Sunday sometimes. And I think that's where Florida State has to go find itself a little bit. Because those guys are too talented not to be that good. And for, like I said, the first two games have been disastrous. But the other question here is, why Uiagalelei, Steve? And I think it's fair to ask that question.
I saw what he
was at Clemson. He went to Oregon State, did not hit 62.5% of his passes.
Right.
And now you bring him to Florida State because you think that, okay, well, we can fix this. Jonathan Smith couldn't do it. Brandon Streeter couldn't do it. Dabo Swinney couldn't do it technically as the head coach.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that the kid is – the acumen of the kid at quarterback is going to be fruitful for Florida State when we're all set.
It's incredible. Then you, on the other side, Cam Ward, who showed all the traits at Washington State when he was there. It's only a one-game sample size, but looks like he's the real deal.
Well, and if, you know, if you're football savants like you and I are, you saw him when he was at Incarnate Word playing for G.J. Kinney,
right,
who's now at Texas State.
That's right.
And guess what he did at Incarnate Word? He slung it around like he's playing for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was
Incarnate Word was like Kurt Warner and the Rams of St. Louis days, you know? I mean, it was crazy to watch Incarnate Word. And he went to Wazoo and played for the perfect guy. You and I both know that. I mean, he goes up there, and they sling it all over the place. So, and apparently, you know, I didn't realize there was this bidding war for him in the portal between FSU and Miami. And somehow he gets to Miami, and part of the reason is he sees the talent they've got. And then, oh, by the way, Damian Martinez shows up to run the rock. And Mario Cristobal's got, and I'm not saying this flippantly, Steve, Miami's got as much talent right now on both sides of the ball as they've had in their ACC history.
Right. I agree. So
they're due here. They're really due, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, really due. By the way, did I hear this right? That, I mean, it's something on our radio network. It doesn't come into play. But the NCAA, did they just say that players are not going to be interviewed in-game anymore?
Yes, yes, yes.
They made that rule...
10 days ago. I heard about it. Let's see. Today is Thursday. We started last Thursday. I heard it a week ago. It'll be 2 weeks Monday I heard it.
It's an interesting group. They think about things that you and I would never think of and also would add to player value, broadcast value, fan value.
Look, well, here's the wording. I haven't seen it written by the NCAA. But I was told that somewhere along the way it was considered a recruiting advantage. Now, that is comical.
How about winning the game? Last I heard, that's a recruiting advantage.
Well, the other thing would be now we're also recruiting advantage. I mean, last time we talked about recruiting advantage was 40 years ago when somebody got a car and the other guy didn't, okay?
Yeah.
And somebody got this and the other guy didn't, or this school could do this and the other school couldn't. And, you know, the reason that the NCAA treats the basketball tournament where, you know, the 16 seed's held in the same arena as the one seed until it comes to the hotels, right?
Yeah.
And now I would say this, the fact that a kid is interviewed on the field during the game, going to the locker room, at halftime. We interviewed Haynes King of Georgia Tech three times last year going to the locker room at halftime. Twice he was trailing. He was unbelievable.
Yep.
But the idea of the NCAA stopping this because of, quote, recruiting advantages, that in a sentence tells you why we need a restructure of governance from that organization.
Oh, no question. Which then I do want to bring up one other element of money, and that is because we all know at some point the NCAA that Claudia Wilkins is going to approve the settlement with House.
Right.
That means about $23 million.
Yeah.
Which there are a lot of Big Ten schools that can handle that. In your opinion, what's the percentage of ACC schools based on their TV contract that they can handle?
Well, I think you have to go beyond the television contract with this figure. In talking to ADs in and outside of the ACC, there are a lot of schools that tell me this is when the long, hard look's going to occur.
Yeah.
This is when schools are going to have to stand in front of the mirror and go, okay, are we really going to bite this bullet and go? And if so, it's going to take a comprehensive look at the business of college athletics. And this is when it leaves, you know, we're leaving the development office. Because remember, $22 million is one thing. The fact that it's an annual figure is the other, Steve.
Right.
That's a tricky number. That's a really tricky number, and what's it going to be? At what cost is that $22 million going to come? And I think that's where institutions, and there's some long-standing college athletic institutions with a century or more of tradition that are going to have this long look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And it really does come down to an independent decision by the school, because we know chancellors and presidents aren't going to look at other schools in their league. I mean, if they were going to do that, they would have done it already with certain schools and say, hey, look, we appreciate you being in the league for 75 or 80 years, but we're going to ask you to move on here while we're over here doing this financially. Now it's going to come down to people standing in front of the mirror. And I'm afraid that it's going to come at the expense of sports. I think it's going to come at the expense of jobs on campus.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to have to take less money.
Yeah.
In their particular salaries. Now, you know, some people say, well, this is where the coaching meter comes back, you know, maybe to normalcy, as opposed to the local neighborhood being $9 to $11 million or whatever it is.
Right.
I don't know about that. I think it gets really, really tricky because every school, and you know this, Penn State's different from Michigan, which is different than Maryland, which is different than, I'll just go ahead and throw Washington in there since they're in your neighborhood now.
Sure.
I mean, same thing in the ACC. Boston College, Wake Forest, Duke, Georgia Tech, Syracuse. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing somebody here along the way.
Pitt.
Maybe even Miami would be different than, say, Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, NC State. How's that?
Yeah, no, that's fair. Because it's not just the $22 million. It's the 4% escalator. That $22 million is going to be the low number. I have to ask you, since you will have the privilege of announcing the Arthur Smith Bowl coming up on Sunday.
Thanks.
No problem. Anytime.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Falcons and the opener with the Steelers is in your mind? What do you and Arch think about that?
I think the game for me is, and it's funny, Brooke Pryor from ESPN and I were just talking about this. I think the game for me is so much of an unknown right now as a known.
Right.
That we've built up the Steelers situation at quarterback to be this soap opera. That apparently Mike Tomlin's entire legacy in Pittsburgh hinges on it. Arthur Smith goes in, and his favorite formation is 22. And, you know, I fully expect to see two tight ends and two backs on the field for the first snap just because that's what I know he likes to do. And Atlanta's got a $100 million quarterback, a first-round pick who's going to hold a clipboard and wear a headset.
Yeah.
And they made more moves on defense in a 24-hour period than they had in my 20 years doing the games during August. With Judon and Simmons. I think it's going to be incredibly entertaining, but I also think that perspective is going to be important because I think the team that wins still has work to do, and the team that loses can't say, okay, well, we lost the first 60 minutes, our season is over. Right. In Atlanta's case, they play Pittsburgh on Sunday, a week from Monday in Philadelphia, who's in Brazil of all places, right. And then a Sunday night game against the Chiefs, and then three straight division games in their first six, Steve. I mean, yeah. I get the first game, but I'll be damned, that's not the most important of those first six by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. Well, it is always great to talk with you. Look, the two of us could probably talk for hours.
About new technology, among other things. Absolutely.
New technology is great. I mean, yeah. I did get myself to an 11, so I felt good about that. So
there you go.
Right.
That's good.
Right. You know, you saw
and
it.
I'm appreciative of being an auxiliary member of the Big Ten Radio Alliance.
And absolutely, which brings with it that night at the hotel where you all just get to sit around and tell stories. Lots of stories.
Yeah. And I changed everybody's life on Kurt Gowdy, didn't I? Everybody.
And we will leave it at that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that is a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas story.
That's it. There you go. All right.
Larry Munson. All right. Thanks, Wes. You're the best.
Take care, Steve. All the best.
Brother.
Have a great year.
You too, brother.
Same. All right, man.
All right. That's brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roads, 11 and 15, Hubble's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tailgate weekend, and maybe the morning part may have a little bit of rain in it, but the afternoon after the game has no rain. So stock up now. It's going to be a big weekend anyway. You want some beverages for tonight's Chiefs-Ravens game. You got Eagles and Packers tomorrow night. And then Penn State football on Saturday. And then a full slate of games on Sunday, including the Arthur Smith Bowl. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Before we get to the Chiefs-Ravens game, Excited for Jessica Pegula tonight. Terry and Kim's daughter has finally made the U.S. Open semifinals. She has lost. She's been able to get to the quarters on a consistent basis, and she keeps losing, ironically, to the usually the woman that ends up winning the tournament. But but now she's in the semis, knocked off the number one seed yesterday. We got it done. And she's got a real opportunity tonight to win her way to the finals. I mean, it's there. The draw is good. And so I'm thrilled for her. I mean, she's 30 years old now. I mean, and the U.S. has, two women and two men in the semifinals. That's a rarity. All right, tonight, Chiefs-Ravens. Last year, this was the coming out party for Detroit. They had a good finish to 2022, including beating Green Bay in Lambeau on Monday Night Football when Green Bay had a chance to make the playoffs. And then that was an indicator to the NFL and scheduling to put them at the front with Kansas City last year. And Detroit won the game and ended up having a terrific season where they got all the way to the NFC Championship game. Well, now it's going to be Baltimore and Kansas City. And part of that is going to be a lot of this is going to be with Lamar Jackson. We already know what Patrick Mahomes can do. Jackson gets a lot of praise. First of all, he's the best running quarterback I've ever seen. No question. When I've talked to players that play in Baltimore, they'll tell you he's just an unbelievable leader. Very smart. He's a better passer. He's a better passer than when he came into the league, without question. Now, he's a better passer than when he came into the league. But I still think he is a very good passer, in my opinion, but not a great one. He's very good, but not great. I don't know what you think, Todd, but I still think that that's one of the reasons why Baltimore spins its wheels when they get in the playoffs, because he doesn't quite throw the ball well enough to get them over the top.
I would agree with that generally. I'm not sure if I'd, you know, going back to that AFC Championship game, For some reason, they ran the ball so well all year and decided not to run the ball in that championship game against the Chiefs. But the general point is true, and I think even if they win tonight and win tonight easily, I don't think it proves anything for him. I think everybody is just waiting to see what happens in January.
Yeah. Tonight's not going to sway anybody one way or the other. I mean, no question about that. But I think it's... Lamar Jackson is interesting. You can't wish a result. And let me explain what I mean by that. Because I've made this commentary about Nebraska football before. Nebraska football has not been to a bowl game since 2016. Yet every year in the preseason, Todd, what do we hear?
They're back.
Yes. And I've always said, look, you can't wish a program back to prominence. Well, I feel it's the same way with Lamar Jackson throwing the ball. Over and over and over again, we hear, oh, I mean, he's the best, he's the greatest, the whole deal. And I sit there and go, hey, guys, you can't wish the guy into that spot. I mean, He's 1-7 against the Steelers, yet he has only lost one time to an NFC team. Why? Because the problem is, if you're in the NFC, you see him once every 4 years. You know, your team. And they don't really know him. And because they don't quite know him, his style, they pick him apart. I'm talking about Baltimore. But then you get to the AFC where they know him. It's more of a hard fight. And I mentioned the Pittsburgh one. They're, what, 1-7 against the Steelers. And why? Because they see him all the time. They see him all the time. And that makes a big difference because his style of play, their style of play, doesn't throw teams off as much in the AFC. Now, is he really good? Yeah, he is really good. But is he awesome and incredible in throwing the football? He's not awesome and incredible in throwing the football. He's just really good at it. And he has different arm angles and so forth. You know, and it's hard to sit there and try and say, let's compare him as a passer to Patrick Mahomes, because I think Mahomes is the best quarterback in the game right now. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not as if Mahomes is out there every time with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's was the Dolphins, and he still won Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill. I mean, they've changed the cast of characters on him at wide receiver about the same way Green Bay was doing with Aaron Rodgers.
Let's be honest, he's handled it better.
Yeah, no, he has handled it better.
Definitely.
The guy is just an incredible talent and can run himself. Now, Jackson is a guy that runs is just, I mean, he's, as soon as he breaks contain, you're like, this will be exciting. This is fun. I'm glad I bought a ticket to see that because it really is spectacular. He changes arm angles and so forth, but he's not consistent enough for me yet. After all this time, throwing the ball, that's just me. And again, you can't. Okay, sometimes with him, I think people are wishing that, like their commentary is like, they're wishing that he is Johnny Unitas with a lot of speed. And he's not. But as a Lamar Jackson, he's darn good. I mean, a lot of teams would love to have him. I know my favorite team's the Giants. I'd love to have Lamar Jackson. Thank you. All right. So then there's Green Bay and the Eagles. Green Bay's a fascinating team to me because with Jordan Love at quarterback, we saw last year he was a 4,000-yard guy. And he played really well. Now the league has had a long look at video. Does he continue to play at that level or does he have to make a big adjustment? And that's going to be interesting to watch, especially in game one against a Philadelphia defense that I think is okay. No better. And the Philadelphia defense to me is no better than okay. The Philadelphia offense has a chance to be superior. Hurts, Barkley, Goddard, Dotson, Brown, Smith, most of that offensive line back. They'll miss Jason Kelce, but most of that offensive line back. Eagles offense could be just absolutely dynamic. The problem is I think their defense is no better than okay.
And yeah, I think it really depends on if they figured out you know, some of those secondary issues, you know, is if the kid from Toledo is the answer, when Cooper DeJean gets healthy, is he the, you know, does he help out?
Right.
And, you know, I think we talked ad nauseum at the end of last year about how bad James Bradberry was. It's going to be interesting to see how he bounces back from that as well.
Right, no question. And I still have major questions about Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, Davis so far has played in his NFL career exactly the way I thought he would play when they drafted him. There's nothing he's done to this point that is any different than what I thought he might do when they drafted him. He'd have some flashes here and there, but for the most part, he would be invisible. Carter, as I've said before, I never would have drafted. And again, not based on talent. Absolutely not based on talent. He does have talent. But again, when I go back to the accident, who left and went back to their apartment? Sorry, that to me at that point, that you are disqualified on my draft board. That's me. Others may say the heck with it, you're wrong, and you're entitled to that. But I wouldn't have drafted him for that reason. And I thought he started last year as a player. Now let's get to his performance. Last year, the first 10 or 11 games, oh my goodness, he was really good. And then he just absolutely went in the tank the last 2 months of the season. Month and a half, 2 months of the season, he went in the tank. Man, where was he?
He was there. Not that you could have told a lot of times, but he was at least there.
Yeah, in football, I don't usually need to mark guys present.
No.
You know, I'd like them to like let everybody know on the face of the earth that I'm here, right? I didn't have to go back later. Did he show up? Oh, yeah, no, he punched in. Okay, good. All right. So,
Nick gets those emails like you get for class. I was here, Jalen.
Oh no! I got one yesterday that said, "I'm sorry I missed class." Like, really? I have a question about whatever. I'm thinking to myself, you should have shown up. Like, when I was in college, you know how many classes I missed? None. I didn't miss a single one. 3.5 years. Never missed. And I've told the class that. I said, I didn't miss in 3.5 years. I said, look where I'm sitting and look where you're sitting. Right? And, and over the year, I mean, I've done this for 23 years. You name the relative, they've all passed away. I'll get these things. And I'll say, my great-great-great-grandfather died. What, it was unexpected? What? It's like, come on. Like, I'm sorry, but, you know. Okay.
Apparently he was the last living Civil War general.
I believe so. I believe your grandfather knew James Beaver. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
tomorrow on the show? Is that the deal?
We do, 1:15.
Yeah.
I sound more excited than you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Do we have anybody else tomorrow leading into the game?
Not so far. We're going to do some picks with the King?
We are definitely doing picks with the King tomorrow. No question about it. Got to get into the groove with that, especially with the NFL. Or is it the NBL, the National Brazilian League? So I'm looking at I never have looked at this before. Our page views are up 224%. Our new users are up 67%. Our total users up 52%. Wow. That's not bad. I live with that. You know me, I never look at that stuff. It just happened I was on there. Like, oh, I'll take a look at that. Sure. I like it. So thanks to everybody for doing that. That's cool. Very cool. So, week two is a weekend for Penn State. It looks like the weather for the game is going to end up being okay. Maybe a passing shower, a little bit of a shower, maybe at some point in the first half, maybe the second quarter now, but there's an opening of no rain up until then, and then looks like there's no rain after in the second half or after the game, which is great news for you, the fans, because that's what I care about with that. And it's a test of maturity for Penn State. You come off a big win. You played well in the opener. Now you need to follow it up and play well again. And it doesn't matter who you're playing. You are the prohibitive favorite. Everybody knows you're the prohibitive favorite. Everybody knows. And now you have to just go out there and play your game and get it done. In Bowling Green, for them, this is their opportunity. I understand all that. But you still have to go out and play it and win it. And, you know, it was interesting, you know, Wes Durham talking about the Appalachian State game coming. I think, was it Clemson?
Yeah. Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night. Like, come on. I mean, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you sit back and go, hey, look, you have to take care of business every time out. And it's not, this is not me like throwing some, oh my goodness, what? No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm just giving you what, you know, realistically, why you just need to go out and take care of business. Do not in any way, shape, or form, quote, let these people think they have a chance. That's the important part. You can't, just don't even for a second let them think they have a chance. Just go out, get the lead, take care of business, get out of there.
Do you, being at practice, do you see a different focus from them in this after the West Virginia game, or is it the same type of...
No, it's for the most part, it's been the same. I haven't really seen any differences. I mean, they'll do a walkthrough today. But when I've been out there, I've seen the same. I mean, the coaches are going to take the same approach.
Yeah.
But the players are the ones you're looking at as to how they're approaching it. And you can see they're approaching it the same as they did last week. Which is a good sign. But you have to go out and get it done now. All right, so tomorrow, Matt Catrillo, spreading the joy that only he can. He'll also have a lot of Eagles panic and the king with picks.